Welcome to our final presentation for Chapter 1, where we will discuss the financial aspects of career planning and the most important financial decision you will ever make. But first, did you work through the future value problems? Three handouts, answer keys, commentaries, future value tables? I sure hope so. Okay, let's get started on slide 40. With the financial aspects of career planning. Now, I have a little bit of a problem with this. Do you have a job or a career? And the book says a job is an employment position obtained mainly to earn money without regard for interest or opportunities for advancement. Whereas a career is a commitment to a profession that requires continued training and offers a clear path for occupational growth. I understand where they're coming from. I think it's a little bit elitist. But I do like this quote from one of our counselors, and I can't remember who said it at Southwestern. A job is something you do for a paycheck. A career is something you do regardless of the paycheck. And this I can definitely relate to because I absolutely love what I do. I'm the luckiest guy, as I've told you, in the world. I get to teach what I love, do what I love. And so, don't tell the administration, but I would do this for free. But is it true that education does relate to income? In general, yes. Now, these are old numbers. We're going to get the new numbers next year. And then there's a couple other places where you can get semi-updated numbers. The numbers are very similar. But notice, as your education level rises, so does your income and lifetime employment, and it's not a guarantee, but it is quite enlightening, isn't it? But the reality is you have to decide what you want to be if you grow up. Where will the jobs be? Well, in service. Manufacturing, the jobs are still there, excuse me, but they are fewer and farther between because of automation that is happening throughout the entire global economy. So people tend to say, oh, China's taking away all the manufacturing jobs. The percentage of manufacturing jobs in China is shrinking compared to the population because of automation. And notice that one of the areas that is going to be in need is financial services. Dear students, did I mention that we have a financial services certificate and associate's degree? And did I mention that the salaries in the financial services industry are higher than the national average? And that they are actively recruiting women and minorities? But the reality is the greatest number of jobs are going to be in healthcare. One in five people, I have a hard time believing this, but by 2027 or something like that, one in five people are going to be in the healthcare field. And psst, get involved in biotechnology. Because what the computer industry and telecommunication industries have done, the biotechnology industry is going to do 10 times over, in my humble opinion. Yeah, there have been a lot of crashes along the way from those who have invested in biotechnology, but it's going to happen. We won't be able to 20 years from now recognize the world just as if you had gone back 20 years, well, about 20 years, and saw what would happen with the internet when it was just taken off, 25 or so. Still, that's going to happen in the biotechnology world. I guarantee it. I just don't know who the winners are going to be. So you have to, be careful on who you invest in. But you can invest in yourself and get involved in the industry because Southwestern also has a biotechnology. I'm not sure if it's a certificate or a degree, but we have an awesome DNA program. I took one of the classes. It was actually a lot of fun. Slide 43. But what do you want to be if you grow up? What is your career goal? Most people believe you must become a doctor or a lawyer or a high-powered executive to become wealthy. But what if you want to be a writer or a teacher or an artist, janitor, mechanic, or plumber? Can you become wealthy while doing what you love, even if it does not command a large salary? And as we saw with the future value problems, future value tables, future value worksheets, yes, the answer is yes. The key to set a goal is to set a goal for yourself and start investing early. And folks, I don't know about you, but the last time we had a plumber come to our house, it was not, you know, trivial. So some, you know, sometimes looked down upon professions are actually quite, you know, quite healthy. And it reminds me of the story of the brain surgeon. She was, you know, new brain surgeon who got a job at this university hospital. And she wanted to make a good impression. She has a Saturday night dinner party for all the muckety mucks at the hospital, at the university hospital. And that afternoon, the downstairs toilet overflows. So she calls up the 24-hour plumber who rushes right out and fixes it. Not even 5 minutes, he's got it working. So she's so grateful. And she says, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, he gives her a bill for $400. And she kind of gulps and says, well, excuse me, sir. I'm not trying to sound ungrateful or anything, but that's a lot of money. I mean, I'm a brain surgeon. I don't even make that much in 5 minutes. And the brain and the plumber says, I know how it is. Neither did I when I was a brain surgeon. Yeah. So so think about it. What do you want to be if you grow up? What do you love? What is it that excites you? The truth is, your career is not your most important financial decision. But if your career is not your most important financial decision, what is, dear students? Your most important financial decision you will make in this lifetime is who you marry. And then subsequently divorce. Because marriage is grand and divorce is more like $100,000. And the younger folks, especially in the face-to-face class, will kind of look, whoa, I thought marriage is going to be a love affair and everything. No, marriage is an ordeal. Marriage is a trial by fire. And the older folks in the, you know, if we have some during the day, usually not, but in the evening, yeah, will sometimes go, oh, yeah. And, of course, we have the discussion forums. So in the discussion forums, hopefully, remember, it's all anonymous. Nobody can see who you are unless you post a picture of yourself. And then the picture is so small, you can't really see the person anyway. We hope to see or hear or see some stories where, remember that, folks, I want you to remember this. When you're walking down the aisle, oh, this is the most important financial decision I'm ever going to make. Because I got to tell you, folks, I goofed up the first time. I was standing up at the altar saying to myself, this ain't going to work. And I was right. Yeah. But second one, hey, 32 years we've been together. So, you know, it takes a little bit of practice. So remember that. The most important financial decision you're ever going to make. You know, just listen to the music. When they start the wedding, what do they play? Dun, dun, da, da, dun, dun, da, da, here comes the bride. It all lullaby and love music, and but after you've said I do or I will, after the marriage is done, after the ceremony is done, what do they play when you're leaving? Huh? What do they play? Bam, ba 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 bam, ba 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 bam, ba 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 bam, ba 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 bam, bam ba bam bam bam. You know what that's called? That's called the wedding march. March, go. Get out there. You are now an economic union. Get to work. Yeah. Sometimes students will say, but aren't you married? Yes. Are you happily married? I say, oh, yes, of course. My wife told me to tell you that we are very happily married. I love the spreading strife is sometimes my greatest joy, and I love to throw a little wrinkle in especially the young folks' path, thinking, well, wait a minute, let me think about this twice, because I had a chance the first time. Both of us said, you know, should we really do this? And we both said, well, probably not, but everything's decided. Yeah, it'll work. Wrong. Go, moving on. Slide 45, the March of Civilization. Let's take a few moments and discuss civilization. It takes more than a few moments, but if you go through history, you'll find that there are basically four types of civilizations: hunting and gathering, agrarian, and that's the simple versus advanced agrarian societies, industrial, and now what we're often calling the information age, or I don't know what you want to call it. But it's very interesting. In the agrarian world, they worked 60 to 80 hours a week, folks, especially in the harvest times when you had to get those crops in or else they rotted in the field. They didn't call it a harvest moon for nothing. And then, oh my goodness, the industrial age comes along and we go down to 40 hours per week, although a lot of people work more. And this has been predicted for decades, and it seems, we'll see, well, you know, we'll see what's happening, but because of automation, because of all the new technologies with artificial intelligence and not so artificial intelligence, we should see 25, 28 hours per week, which is, you know, not bad. The machine's doing a lot of the work. We're going to have to, because we're going to have to employ people, right? Interesting. How often or how many hours a week do hunting and gathering societies work? About 25, 28 hours. Wait a minute. Yes, but their existence is a lot more precarious than when we picked up the plow and started growing our own food and stopped hunting and gathering. But, you know, interesting. Have we really advanced that far? Yeesh. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you worried about China taking over the world and all those foreigners? Don't be, dear students. Don't be. Because we have secret weapons. Yes, we do. We are fanning across the globe, and we will bring them to their knees with Kentucky Fried Rat, pizza crap, and taco smell. Yes, we are exporting the standard American diet. It's called SAD for a good reason, around the world. And pretty soon, in 10, 20 years, diabetes will be so rampant that we will bring the other societies to our knees. You notice, I have a hard time believing this, but supposedly there's between 200 and 300 million people around the world who have diabetes and they don't even know it. So you're not going to be one of them. You're going to go to nutritionfacts.org, write it down, it's on my website, and learn that the standard American diet, which we are exporting to the rest of the world, is killing us, folks. You know? We'll discuss this later on. But really, think about it. We are exporting Western food habits. And, yeah. Okay. Enough said. I'll do more indoctrination more when we get to health insurance. And so slide number 47. To finish up our introduction to financial planning and money management, chapter one, we end with a quote from a guy who figured it out a long time ago, folks. He had it all figured out 2,500 years ago. Choose a job you love and you will never have to work a day in your life. Is that so true? That I am the luckiest guy. I think I've told you this. Because I love what I do. I get to torture students and they pay me to do it. Think about that. So, takeaways from chapter one. Financial planning in action. We need you to learn how to write well-written, effective goals. Go through the future value problems. Make sure you can do them using the future value tables. And study. Bring honor and glory to Southwestern Community College. And in our next chapter, we are going to create the two most important documents that everybody must have for effective financial planning: the cash flow statement and the net worth statement. And they're really not that hard to put together. In fact, we have a couple of spreadsheets that will help you do it. So see you in our next chapter when we do financial statements and money management. See ya!